Texas is, what people don't realize, is I believe the most important economy in the United States. With Texas reopening, there's a lot of people out of state, you know, California, Washington, Jersey, Chicago, they have no interest in buying in their states. I know several fund syndicators and whatnot that buy all over the U.S., and several of those guys have said, we're not buying in any other state but Texas this year, moving forward.
Your network is your net worth. Come listen to some of the most successful people I know. Share invaluable knowledge, stories, and advice in real estate, business, and beyond. This is Weiss Advice. Whether you want to take your business or personal life to the next level, look no further. And welcome back to Weiss Advice. I'm your host, Yonah Weiss. It is a pleasure to have you all listening today. Thank you so much for joining us. And I want to introduce you to a friend of mine out in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, the one and only Cody Payne. Now, Cody's with Colliers. Yeah, there he is. Colliers International in Fort Worth. They're specializing in office and industrial investment properties. He's been there for the past 15 years, closed more than 600 transactions. Count that. Do the math, folks. That's a lot of deals. This guy is a deal maker, and when he's not busy doing deals, he's busy driving his fancy Corvette and whatever other cool wheels that he's got sporting. So, Cody, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's Memorial Day. It's a great day. It's raining out here in Texas, but man, doing real good, and glad to come on your show as you came on mine, and I appreciate it very much.
Well, you have an awesome show out there. I mean, you got already thousands of views on YouTube, so you're picking up some speed pretty quickly. I mean, from starting from scratch, from nothing, I think that's pretty impressive.
It's because of the guys I've got here too. You know, I got 7-8 guys here, and they're all very into it as well. And we share the show, and we all love it and promote it. And so that's what I think's helped make it so successful.
It's interesting. You know, a lot of people, and we were talking about this before, but in the podcasting world, right, in real estate, multifamily is what gets the limelight, right? Everyone knows multifamily. Everyone's talking about that. And I think that's partially because, you know, there are so many people in the multifamily world that are pushing the idea to be a thought leader and have this kind of platform where you're hosting a podcast. Whereas office and industrial, I think you guys are pretty unique in that you're coming out in that sector and not only crushing it in the sales, but trying to bring some thought leadership into the industry. So I commend you.
Yeah. On that. Well, I appreciate it. I think we're the only office and industrial show there is, to be honest with you. And that's one of the reasons why we did it.
That is awesome. So who's the most interesting guest that you've had on your show thus far?
Well, probably yourself.
Yeah.
That's been the most interesting.
I don't mean you know, we've only looking. I mean, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we've probably brought out 4 or 5 episodes, and we've had, you know, Candace Evans of Candy's Dirt, who's one of the largest news reporters out here for real estate and DFW. She was a good one. We had a good Venture X franchisee that was also really good. We had you on there. You bring a lot of value and insights for a lot of our clients that just don't think of cost segregation as a way to help their bottom line and to, you know, help bring more value to them. And so what was one of the other ones? Oh, Sheila Matusak of Coeo Space, who I'm a big fan of. They run a office and industrial leasing site for people who are looking for office industrial space. It's because there's not in commercial, you know, as you know, I mean, at the end of the day, the commercial real estate industry has been stuck in the stone ages compared to the residential. Right. You know, I mean, their technology and everything's just so far more advanced. And, you know, you or I can get on, you know, and every holiday or something like that, and just look for a home, and it has access to the MLS, which you really don't have that in commercial real estate. And so, Coeo Space, they're big on helping landlords lease space and brokers find space for their tenants.
Sure,
yeah, so we've had good folks, real good folks.
Yeah, and many more. So, if anyone here is listening to this show and you're in the office and industrial space, check out Cody, Texas Office Investments. Check him out. We're gonna, you know, plug his show over here. But Cody, I want to go a little bit into who's the man behind the show, right? Who's the man behind the Mustang?
Oh, well, I mean, that's yours truly. But actually, the show is all of us. You know,
right,
I've got
all you guys.
Me, Michael Tran, Ross, Austin, Blake. I mean, we got all these guys here that do the episodes with, you know, each other. And so you're not going to hear from the same person on each one. You may hear from me a little more just because I do enjoy doing it. And some of these guests, I don't, you know, I want to do them. And so, but no, I've ran the team for a long time. I've been in the industry for, I think 15 years now. And, you can tell by the hairline. And, but no, I've always done office industrial investments and started in the leasing industry and, slowly converted to investment sales. And now that's all that we do. And we try to, be the best in the industry in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Yeah, well, it's a big city to tackle, and you guys have proven yourself as, you know, the experts in that field. Let me ask you a question, you know, and something I appreciate about you is that, you know, I want to just mention here, I had a couple cancellations today. It's a holiday. It's Memorial Day. All right. Given that we're recording this, you listen to this a little later when you listen to this show, but we're recording this. It's, you know, not everyone's working today, but we recorded it. We scheduled this event a few weeks ago. And I actually had two cancellations. Well, one was an accidental, and the other one was actually a rescheduled cancellation. But I just reached out to Cody, you know, to make sure that he was coming on. And what he responded to me was, you know, just shows to the fact of who you are. You know, he's like, I don't know how to cancel an appointment. You know, that type of personality trait doesn't exist in my family.
We don't. It wasn't engraved in my DNA when I was born. So my grandfather doesn't know how to quit or cancel, and my father doesn't, and I'm not gonna do them wrong. So yeah, no, we don't know how to either. We're at the office today. Me and several of the guys making progress, you know, getting ahead and doing all the nitty gritty things that we don't like to do, but we're able to do them.
That work ethic, you know, comes directly, sounds like, from your father, from your grandfather. Were they also in the real estate business?
No, they, you know, my grandfather, you know, came from the farm fields, and, you know, my father did partly as well. And, I'm one of the, you know, my mother, she's a businesswoman. My brother he's a businessman, and so am I. But, no, they had, you know, my grandfather is the kind of guy, you know, he just turned 90 years old over this weekend. And, you know, he always tells us he was, you know, chewing tobacco and smoking cigarettes at, you know, 12 years old and working in the cotton field for a dollar a day and giving his dad 50 cents of that dollar. Or I'm sorry, I think it was $2 a week, I think he recalled. He was giving his dad $1 a week of the pay. So, but yeah, when I was younger, they instilled a very good work ethic. And unfortunately, sometimes I like being here more than anywhere else, but it's what I enjoy. And, you know, we've got one goal in mind, and we're just going to keep pushing until we get there.
So what do you do besides besides for work? Obviously, working for you is fun, but what do you do besides when you want to take off? I see, you know, you got posts a lot of times with social media, fancy cars, love to drive around. What's behind that?
Well, I'm big into the 70s, right? So all my classic cars are from the 70s. I got a old 72 Mustang, 79 Vette, 75 Cadillac, and I worked on cars for, you know, pretty much my entire life. Older cars, I can't work on newer cars, but I enjoy working on them. I like the feel of real, raw American steel, the heaviest steel that this earth has ever produced. You know, when you're driving, have you ever driven a car from the 70s, like a muscle car?
I'm trying to think. I think, yeah, I drove one.
You would know if you would know if you did.
Yeah,
because when you're in it.
A Camaro, actually. Did they have Camaro? Yeah, I think it was a Camaro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when you're in it and you're driving it, the car is a part of you. Those older cars are, because there's no electronics. There's no computer telling that engine what to do or how to stabilize. I mean, you are in complete control. You can push the car as hard as it'll go, and it'll push you even harder. And so that's why I like the American 70s cars, because they're heavy. They're bulky. You can tweak them to get as much power as you want out of them. And that Mustang is one that I've worked on for a long time. And that car is, you know, just a part of me.
So we see that, you know, I think it comes out in your personality. You know, you're pushing the pedal to the metal.
That's right.
It kind of fits very much so. Now, speaking on that, those terms, you know, we've spoken about what's been happening in this current market, and obviously things are changing in the industrial market and office market. And I was actually talking to some of my colleagues today that thinking, you know, office space, because so many companies are going remote and are thinking about going remote, you know, the office space may not necessarily be hit that hard because people might just take larger spaces. But what do you think? Is it going to be looked at differently? Is it going to be adaptive, you know, uses to office? What's your kind of bird's eye view on that?
Well, and if you read, you know, any of these sites, you've got two different opinions. Some people say it's the death of office space, and some people say that office space is going to be more important than ever. And, you know, I think that there's kind of two sides to it. Office has, over the past 5 years, transformed. People don't realize how much office has transformed in just 5 years. The co-working component in DFW has expanded by like 200% in 2 years. Wow. And so that just shows you how much it's changed. And so, but I will tell you, so there were two large companies out here that we were talking to about doing a sale leaseback on. And one of those companies has about 500 employees at their location out here. And we were talking about doing their sale leaseback, which is them signing a long-term lease, selling it as a investment. And I literally just talked to one of them a week ago, and they say we don't need the probably 60% of the space that we had. So what they're going to do is downsize and then try to release the remainder portion. And so you do see that from some of these guys. That one's built out as a call center, and they've kind of been a company that has been very old school and not technologically advanced. And since they were forced to work from home, they were forced to go figure out, you know, the new technologies and how to work from home and how to be more efficient. And they've third-party sourced, you know, outsourced several things. And so you do have companies like that that are going to do that. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's still back office work that's going to be done. You know, even for as much as Amazon and all these other people are expanding more and more, I mean, at the end of the day, they got to have an office space somewhere. And so, you know, even Toyota brought their large headquarters out here, State Farm. So I don't think there's a death of office space, but it's transforming before our eyes, but it has been for the past 5 years.
Right, and it continues to transform. And I think that's the sign of, you know, a great broker, someone who really has their pulse on the industry and knows what's changing, knows what's out there. What kind of goals are you guys setting as a team right now, since so many things are changing? Are you guys still focused on the same goals you had beforehand, or are you kind of transitioning and focusing on new or different types of goals?
The goals don't change over here. I mean, we're going to be the best office and industrial investment sales team that this great state of Texas deserves. And so the goal hasn't changed. How we have been working over the past couple of months has changed a little bit. You know, obviously, since we can't do as many face-to-face meetings, we've done a lot more of these Zoom calls. But no, I mean, as far as the office industrial sector goes, I mean, Texas is what people don't realize is, I believe, the most important economy in the United States. And with Texas reopening, I can tell you there's a lot of people out of state, you know, California, Washington, Jersey, Chicago, they have no interest in buying out there in their states.
And it's a lot cheaper to live in Texas. It's a lot, you know, the taxes are less than a lot of places. And it's obviously a wide open spaces.
Get this. So over half of the buildings that we sold last year were to out-of-state investors. And I think it was like 52, 53% or something like that. And so I believe that number will increase this year just because I know several funds and, you know, not institutions, but, you know, fund syndicators and whatnot all over that buy all over the U.S. And several of those guys have said, we're not buying in any other state but Texas this year moving forward. And so that's something to tell you. And yeah, I think so.
That's a good sign. Let me ask you, what would you say is one subject that should be taught in schools that isn't?
Respect. I don't know if that's a subject that you can teach, but I'm an old school karate guy. I went to karate when I was a kid and, you know, did it for a long time. I quit doing it back in 2016. But, you know, I think that a lot of these kids nowadays could use a good whooping, you know, use a little more respect in their nature. I mean, there's a lot of good kids out there, obviously. But, you know, I think a lot of them are taught the basic, you know, blocking and tackling, but aren't so much prepared for the how hard and how rough and how tough the real world can actually be. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that, you know, I think is probably maybe not put on the schools as much as some of the parents, but I went to a good public school out here, and, you know, how it was then, I don't think a lot of the kids could last there today, but, you know, I think that's probably one of the biggest things is really getting them prepared for today's actual society.
Yeah. Well, you know, society has changed a lot since we were in school, but I think, you know, and the, you know, just talking about the digital society and people, kids, you know, walking around with computers in their pockets, this, you know, obviously these phones, smartphones, they're literally computers and have everything at their fingertips that we didn't have. We didn't have these type of things. Outdoors,
no,
activities.
No, I went enough. Yeah. My dad told me to go play with some broken glass or something, you know? Like, yeah, it's way different now.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we could definitely use a dose of respect and definitely a dose of, you know, kind of planning for what's out there for kids.
Well, look, if I mean, with the way social media is and how things are done and how people look at each other nowadays and, you know, all these people that want to be, you know, Instagram famous and whatnot. I mean, it's a harsh reality and it can be a harsh world. And I think that a lot of people aren't prepared for it and a lot of kids aren't. So I believe a lot of the kids in my family are. But, you know, I think a lot to do with a lot of the folks in my family were raised. Yeah. And so they still believe in the old whoopings and whatnot.
You know, I see, I hear that, you know, everyone has their different approaches, but
yeah,
they're all good. As long as you're consistent with it and it's coming from a place of love. So Cody, I want to jump into the final four. You ready for that?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to do a rapid fire? No. Oh, yeah.
We can do it quick. We can do it slow. However you want to do it.
No. Hit me up.
The first question for you is, what is the worst job that you ever had?
The worst job that I ever had. I mean, look, I don't feel like I've ever had a bad job, to be honest with you. I worked at the horse track as a kid. I worked at Winn-Dixie as a kid. I sold cars at Westway Ford. I mean, you know, I did have a brief stint. A lot of people know this. I had a brief stint at another real estate firm out here. This was like 8-9 years ago. It didn't do enough to make on my LinkedIn page, you know, as a job, but it was at another real estate firm. I literally couldn't get out of there fast enough. And it's just because, you know, my outlook and their outlook was not on the same page, and I'm growth oriented and, you know, not looking to, you know, stay the same in life. And I'm interested in taking risks and, I like high risks and high rewards. And so that's kind of how me and the guys here work, but man, I really haven't had any bad jobs. You know, maybe I didn't like them, but, looking back on them, I mean, they taught me so much, you know, even selling Fords at Westway Ford in the hot summer heat. You know, the Texas summer is not nice to people on the car lot, but I mean, even that, you know, I learned some good sales skills there. And, you know, I always remember the manager there, he would always, you know, tell me to get the people in the car, like, just kind of like, get them in the car, Cody, you know, and I'd always come back and be like, man, I literally tried pushing the guy in the car. He wouldn't get in the car. And so they had to tell me to ease off, after my first couple of weeks. Cause I was really,
you're like physically really trying to get people into
the car. Oh yeah. If I could grab their phone, I'd throw it in the car so they'd get in there and get it, you know? So, but no, I never really had any bad jobs.
Okay. Well, that's probably a testament to who you are as a person, because I've had a few people on this show tell me that they haven't had bad jobs. And I think it's really interesting because kind of about the perspective of the person, you know, some people,
it's what you take away from it, you know?
Exactly.
I didn't like working and building fence when I was a kid for my grandfather for $5 a week. I mean, I really didn't. So I guess, but you know, at that time it was great money.
Okay, so we can chalk that one up there. Okay, yeah. Second question for you, Cody, is what book have you read that has given you a paradigm shift?
Do you know who Grant Cardone is?
Sure, who doesn't know who Grant Cardone is?
Yeah, and so he had that 10X rule.
Yeah.
you know, I don't agree with everything in the book, you know, and not everything in every book like that you'll agree with, but there's a lot of good little takeaways from there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, really just living your life to the max in your business. And, you know, yeah, it could be great to try to have revenue streams from other projects, but really doing what you're great at and just, you know, not so much timesing it by 10, but timesing it by as much as you can.
Right. Focusing. And I think that's the lesson that I learned from that book more than anything was just focus, you know?
Yeah. And that's really what I got from it is, look, if this is what you want to do, this is what you want to be, you need to get rid of some other stuff in your life and take that time and put it towards this.
Exactly.
And so, I do like the book. I like Grant Cardone. You know, he's an interesting guy. I used to listen to him. Do you remember back when he used to do his Everybody's Got 2 Cents and Everybody's Got 2 Minutes little bits that he did like 10 years ago?
No.
He used to do a 2 cent. He used to do a Grant Cardone's 2 cents in 2 minutes. And he'd do them like every day. And it was like a 2 minute clip of him just talking about, here's my 2 cents on something.
Right. And that's so great. It's a great idea. He's a marketing genius, you know, because he's someone that really stands by the rule that no, you know, publicity is bad publicity. So he has no problem whatsoever getting out there. And there's so much bad publicity about him out there. If you like, search YouTube for Grant Cardone, there's so many people that are after him and trying. And you know what? The guy, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant marketer. He knows what he's doing. He's a smart guy. And you may not like his style. A lot of people don't like him. And I think that's what makes him great, is that he's not afraid to just be ruthless, you know, about who he is and what he does, and successful in doing it.
Well, like I said, I like him. I know he can be overly aggressive in certain areas, but I think he's good. And he actually showed the world how social media marketing really should be done. I mean, he was kind of like the frontier at it, I believe, in utilizing its free platform to reach everybody. And so he's done a good job. And
he's
so
relentless.
He's to replicate relentless. That. I don't know how he does so much videos.
Yeah. I mean, well, he has a team. I mean, that's really the...
Yeah, I guess
they like Gary Vaynerchuk, like these guys that are really big in the social media and the media marketing. The truth of the matter is they have teams producing stuff for them. So it's much easier to put out a lot of content and repurposing a lot of content. But no, he's great. Let's move to the third question. What skill or talent would you most like to learn?
Skill or talent? It'd be nice to speak another language. You know,
what language would you like to speak?
Spanish, probably.
Probably makes sense if you're in Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I know a little bit, you know, but that's one. That's one that I would like to expand on. You know, my brother was going to Germany and my dad was like, hey, just, you know, let me give you my German that I know. Cause my dad, you know, likes to claim that he's, you know, 1/60th German. Mm-hmm. And so he said, you know, just if anybody's asking a question, Nick, just tell them sprechen Sie Deutsch. I don't even know what that means. Doesn't that mean, do you speak English?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch means, you speak Deutsch means German. I speak German. So they'll see clearly that you don't, and they will just stay away from you, which is interesting. I picked up German just from Yiddish because it's very related. I mean, German is very close to English. English is a Germanic language. So German is actually probably one of the easiest languages to learn if you know English, in my opinion.
I know English. So, you know, I don't know if you know this about me. This is a fun fact. I am probably the biggest World War II buff.
Really?
Probably left in the United States.
Well, today's Memorial Day, so I think it only serves us right to talk a little bit about that. Both of my grandfathers served in World War II in the Army, in the U.S. Army.
Oh, nice.
They were both drafted, you know, totally different parts of the country where they came from. And my grandmother as well. My grandmother was in the U.S. Army. She was actually an officer. And she actually, this will be great if you're a World War II buff, so you know where President or General Eisenhower was when the war was won.
Do I know where he was?
Yeah.
I'm guessing in the U.S.
He was in France in a place called like the Little Red Schoolhouse or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, you can Google it. Anyways, my grandmother was actually there with him. She was a personal secretary to General Eisenhower for a certain period of time, World War II.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, and both of my grandparents were actually wounded in combat. And they had, yeah, I remember very, very vaguely. They didn't speak much about anything, but one of my grandfathers was instrumental in liberating several concentration camps.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
good for
which
him.
I also did not speak about much at all. Only I read about it later after he passed away, that he had a very in-depth interview about it. He didn't tell any of us, but it's speaking.
Man, I tell you right now, on Netflix, there's three really good ones on there. And I mean, they'll take your time. I mean, I think there's probably 40 hours total in all of them. And I've already done two of them. I'm halfway through World War II in HD.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah.
Better than Saving Private Ryan?
Oh, yeah, that one's all right. Yeah, it's not a bad movie.
All right, Cody, last and final question for you is, what does success mean to you?
You know, funny you say that. I was actually talking to somebody about that here recently, and it's not about money to me, and I think to a lot of the guys here. It's about being the best at what you want to do mm-hmm. and at what you want to be. And so, you know, we want to be the top office industrial team in North Texas, right? And how do you do that? By having obviously the most market share and being the go-to source for whenever somebody's looking at buying or selling or anything to do with offset industrial. So that is what I believe success is being the top in your field. And success is literally, I believe, almost restarted every day. You know, you could have been successful yesterday. You could have got, you know, two cost-seg clients with big deals, you know, that they want to do stuff with yesterday. But as soon as that day's over and you wake up the next day,
you start over.
You got a new page. And so
that's right.
It's done every day.
That's great.
And it doesn't take a day off. You can take a day off, but success doesn't take a day off.
Well, I take Saturday off, but that's
it. There you go.
I'm successful spiritually on that day. I try to be. Thank you, Cody. This has been incredible. I appreciate you coming on here. Guys, if you want to check out Cody, check out YouTube, the Office Industrial Connection Show. But other than that, where can people find you?
Hey, they can go to, you know, TexasOfficeInvestments.com. You know, they can, you know, find us on LinkedIn. They can find us anywhere searching, you know, Cody Payne or one of the other guys here. But, you know, we're Office and Industrial in Texas, and that's where we're going to stay.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Cody. And thanks to everyone for listening in, tuning in. I appreciate you joining us every time. And just once again, you have to remember that the best advice only comes when you ask. Real quick, I have one question for you. Did you like this episode? If you did, I want to ask you a huge favor. See, the biggest thing that helps this podcast grow and that will spread this message to the whole world is that if you leave a review, a rating, and subscribe to the podcast. What that does is it basically tells the platforms that this podcast is out on is that you like my stuff and I'm doing something right. So take a few seconds out of your day, hit that subscribe button, leave a rating or review. I would be extremely grateful. Also, I want to hear from you guys. So I want to hear some feedback. If you have any questions for future episodes, please find me on LinkedIn, send me a DM, a connection request, Yona Weiss, and I'd love to hear from you.